you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Thursday, February 25th, 2016. 42 days until our big event on April 7th. If you're wondering, where is Joey Kroll? He's in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and he'll share a message with you tomorrow on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. All week we've been featuring portions of 2016 Founders Week as recorded a few weeks ago. Monday and Tuesday, you heard from Dr. Nyquist, the Moody president. Yesterday, it was Joseph Stoll, the president of Cornerstone University and also a former president of the Moody Bible Institute. And we'll finish up with his message today, starting just before we left off yesterday. Dr. Stoll is laying the groundwork about how we wrestle against two kingdoms with their own culture, and that the powers and principalities of the world will war against our soul and try to thwart us drawing close to God. Here's Dr. Joseph Stoll on today, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Paul tries to get us to get a grip of that in Ephesians 6 when he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these kingdom functions, these supernatural powers that are around us. They do play out on the earth. The temptation of Jesus Christ was a confrontation, direct confrontation between the domain of darkness and the kingdom of Jesus Christ in that wilderness moment. Jesus going across the Sea of Galilee to the demoniac and casting, that was a play out of the kingdoms. The kingdoms before our very eyes in action, playing themselves out. There are only two kingdoms. And I wonder to which one you belong. So maybe it would be good for us to understand that these kingdoms have a culture. And just let me take you through some of the cultural realities of these kingdoms in contrast. We've seen here that the domain of darkness, it is a culture of darkness. Now, I don't know, the only time I like darkness is when I go to sleep at night because I'm safe tucked away in my own bed. No danger. But if Marty has rearranged the bedroom the day before, and I get up in the middle of the night in the darkness, it's a problem. Because I'm totally disoriented. Darkness disorients us. There is danger in darkness. And one of the characteristics of the culture of Satan's kingdom is disorientation and danger. By contrast, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a kingdom whose culture is characterized by light. Jesus Christ came and into the darkness proclaimed, I am the light of the world. And John helps us see that because Jesus places the claim of Christ into the setting of him touching the blind man's eyes who lived in darkness all of his life that he might see and have the light of the world with him. That he is the light of the world. So it's a culture of darkness compared to a culture of light. It is a culture in the domain of darkness, of deceit and death. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ scolds the Jewish leaders by saying, you are of your father the devil, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of deceit and death. You think of all the values of our world, of our fallen world, the values that are counter the values of the kingdom of Christ. They are deceitful. I'm reminded of the warning of Scripture. There is a way that seems right to you, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You're deceived. There is no deceit worse than the deceit that comes from the domain of darkness, because death is at the end. And if you look at our world, the culture of death that dips into the womb of women and takes the life of a child, in our America where it is protected and celebrated as a basic right to do death, the flirtations with euthanasia, if you wonder why these things happen, then you need to remember that there is a kingdom. There is a kingdom in which you and I live, whose culture is characterized by deceit and death. However, the kingdom of Christ is about truth and life. He says, I am, do you want to help me here? I am the way, the truth, no deceit, no lying. It is stable, it is solid, it is right. You can trust on it, you can hang on to it for the rest of your life. He is truth, and He is life. And He proved that when He conquered death at the resurrection. And when He said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's the kingdom of Christ. There's the kingdom of Satan that is characterized in its culture by unrighteousness, sadness, conflict. We see it all around us. But the kingdom of Christ, Romans chapter 17, says this: the kingdom of God is not food or drink. Actually, that annoys me a little bit. But it's not, thankfully, because those things come and go. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but listen to it, compared to the kingdom of darkness, righteousness, that which is right, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of darkness is chaos. If you watch, you just track where Satan is unleashed, and it's always chaos. The kingdom of Christ is shalom, bringing peace and calm to chaos. I don't know how many of you go to great symphonies, but if you ever go down to the Chicago Symphony down Michigan Avenue, as Marty and I often did when we lived here in Chicago, and you get there early and you sit in your seat, and then the people in the symphony come out and sit down. They take their instruments, and they start playing their own little instruments all by themselves. And it's a mess. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been there? It's chaos. I paid for this. And then the conductor walks out. They hush. He lifts his wand. And he brings all of them together in beauty and harmony. That's what Jesus will do to the chaos of this world, and bring the beautiful harmony and shalom, as Ephesians 1 says, that He will unite all things to Himself. God hates the day. Amen. The kingdom of Satan is always chaos, and the kingdom of Jesus is always shalom. The kingdom of God, of Satan rather, they have management styles. The kingdom of Satan is managed by the principle that you can do whatever you want to do. And everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And you know what that end game looks like. But the kingdom of Christ is managed by a constitution. The Sermon on the Mount, for instance, it's the constitution of the kingdom. And it's a little challenging. Because he says, if somebody slaps you in the face, just take them out. We all know what he said, don't we? Just turn the other cheek. What? Somebody demands that you give them your coat, and it's not fair. Give me your other coat. Somebody makes you walk a mile. Walk the second mile. You have heard it said, this is all the constitution of the kingdom now. You have heard it said you should love your friends and hate your enemies. That was street talk. That was like, I don't get mad, I just get even. Same thing. But I say unto you, you should love your enemies. You should bless those who curse you. You should pray for those who despitefully use you. So that you can be like your Father who is in heaven. Is there anybody in the house tonight that's really thankful that God has loved his enemies? Seriously, where would we be if he had not loved us in enmity against him? He keeps saying all these upside down things like, and then later part of his management principles are, you want to live? Die to yourself. That too is annoying. You want to gain? Give it all away. Now I just have to stop here to say that the constitution of the kingdom and the ways of Jesus Christ in his kingdom seems so upside down to us. Like Jesus is the most upside down person I've ever heard in my whole life. Well, get a biblical life. He's not upside down. You are. Because we were born upside down. We were born in sin. Our instincts, given to ourselves, our own instincts, are not right. And we're upside down. Did you ever make toast in the morning and butter it and slather it with jam and you go walk over to the table and just all by itself just slips up off the plate? How does it always land? Upside down. Always. Don't give me this 100 pennies in the air, it's 50-50 all the time. It doesn't work with toast. Seriously. So just to keep the metaphor going, you and I, biblically, are upside down toast. And we're a mess, seriously. And Jesus comes like the divine spatula and picks us up off the floor. This is true. And tries to make us right side up so that we can live by the constitution of his kingdom. And just think what a wonderful thing it is. If someone slaps you in the face, you say, I'm not going to get stuck here. I got too much forward in my life. I'm going on. Turn the other cheek. Hit me again. I'm going on. Just think what would happen in your churches, in your family, in your worlds, if we forgave one another, if we blessed those who cursed us, if we prayed for those who despised. Just think of what a wonderful world it would be. It would be the world of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Satan is temporary. Someday, it's going in a lake of fire. At least that's what Revelation tells me. The kingdom of Christ is eternal. The domain of darkness is already defeated. Even though it seems alive and well around us and in your life, it's already defeated. The kingdom of Christ is victorious. Just read Revelation all the way to the end. One of my all-time favorite stories is about a seminary professor, certainly not one at Moody, who was walking through the basement of the seminary, and there was a worker with his lunchbox open and his Bible open, and the seminary professor said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading Revelation." And the seminary professor said, "Well, I'm sure you don't understand what that means." To which the person said, "Actually, I do." The seminary professor, who probably didn't know either, said, "Really? What does it mean?" He said, "It means Jesus wins." That's what Revelation means. We are not on the losing side. I just want to tell you that. So, which kingdom would you choose to belong to? Here's the bad news. You don't get a choice. Because you were born into the domain of darkness. You don't get a choice. Every single one of us has been born into the domain of darkness. And here's the other bad news. You can't do a thing to help yourself to get out. You and I, born into the kingdom of Satan, are in the dangerous, demeaning grip of his power and all the danger and damaging realities of his domain. Now, quite frankly, I think that's cause for despair. And we can do nothing about it. We need a champion. We need someone who can rescue us, someone who can deliver us. I find it interesting that in a story of David and Goliath, the word champion is used. Because often in ancient warfare, the armies wouldn't fight against each other, but the best man from one side and the best man from the other side would go out and fight each other. It was the champion that would go out and fight. And even Goliath taunts Israel, "Send me your champion." And Goliath is known as the champion of the Philistines. And David goes out as the champion for the people of God, single-handedly destroys Goliath, and the Philistines flee. Here's the good news. You have a champion. Jesus is our champion. And he has walked onto the field of the domain of darkness in this turf, done something we could not do for ourselves, and delivered us from the domain of darkness and put us into his blessed kingdom now and forevermore. Amen. And it makes all the difference in the world to know that you are not of this world, that this world does not have you, that you don't belong to this world, that you're not even first and foremost a citizen of America, but that you are, by God's gracious deliverance, the work of our champion, that you are a member of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That you are a citizen of his kingdom, and that that kingdom will never fade. I have to tell you that the storyline of Scripture is about the king and the kingdom. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, God prophesied that the day would come that the seed of woman, our champion, would crush the head of Satan. He put David on a throne and told David that his throne would last forever and that someday the deliverer would sit on his throne forever and ever in his kingdom. Isaiah, read the prophets prophesying about the coming king and the coming kingdom. And then the angel's announcements to Mary and Joseph are nuanced with this whole promise that now the king is being born and his kingdom is beginning to emerge. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the day is coming when Christ will exercise the authority of his kingship, and every authority in the domain of Satan will be put under his foot, on the footstool, until he delivers the victory to Jesus Christ. And then John tells us, and I love this, in the end of Revelation, that when the kingdom is fully, fully revealed, and we are there, that there will be no more sorrow. Amen. The tears will be wiped away. And that there will be no more death. And that all things will be made new in his eternal kingdom. So what does that mean? Well, when Marty and I were raising our children in really difficult times, as children often make a home difficult at times, We just look at each other and say, this too shall pass. If you understand the kingdom of Christ, then you can look at one another in the darkness of this world, a little wink and a nod, and say, by the way, chin up. This too shall pass. I think that life is a lot like a feature-length film. God is the executive producer. And our problem, especially in dark days, in days like we have in America, in dark times in our lives, we tend to freeze frame it right there in that moment. And that's bad. That's worth despair if that's all you have. But remember, it's a feature-length film. And that God is the executive producer. And in the end, His kingdom will prevail. And you will be set free into an eternity of love and joy and peace forever with Him. Just remember, it's more than just today if you're a member of His wonderful kingdom. And how does it relate back to our text? Now I'm really motivated to walk worthy in a way that's pleasing to the Lord because I have a worthy King. I have a worthy King. Now I'm hungry for His strength. Because the strength of the kingdom of Christ has conquered the domain of darkness. I want His strength for my life. And now I will persist. Because I know what the end game is. I will persist. I know that the day is coming when every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to be there knowing I didn't bail. I want to know that I persisted to that point for Him. And joy. As Paul says, I pray that you have joy. Dallas Willard defines joy like this, a pervasive sense of well-being. Think about that. If you're a member of the kingdom of Christ, you have a pervasive sense of well-being. And you can hear what the writer to Hebrews said about Jesus, our champion and our King, said, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. So I don't know what you have to endure in your life, but there is joy that is set before you. Pick up your cross, follow Him. Joy comes in the morning. Persist with joy. Our kids would sometimes bring words home from school. We go, where'd you hear that word? We say, I heard it at school. Or I just want to tell you something right now. We don't use that word in our family. Got it straight? We don't use that word in our family. Right, and I came all the way from Grand Rapids to tell you this. If you're in the kingdom of Christ, we don't use the word despair in our family. That's not a kingdom word. This past Christmas, Marty and I, we were in London, England. It was such a special thing. And we went to hear the Messiah being sung. It was sung by a 500-voice choir. Wow. They sang the whole thing, Christmas through Easter. And the London Symphonic Orchestra at Royal Albert Hall with 500 people, 5,000 people listening. It was amazing. I can't tell you how many times I choked up because I say, they're singing about my King. They're singing about my King. And when they got to the Hallelujah chorus, and we all stood, I couldn't keep the tears back at the end when it resonated from 500 voices with the backing of one of the world's best orchestras, this glorious refrain, "And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." I couldn't keep the tears back because they were singing about my King. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright shining star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises and I'll live with him forevermore. Maybe we should remember the words of Jesus, who told us, warned us, in this world, you will have trouble. Anybody glad he didn't stop there? But, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I came all the way from Grand Rapids, Michigan to tell you this. There is no king like our King.
Be of good cheer, dear listener. Jesus overcame the world, and he cares for you. As it says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That was Dr. Joseph Stoll, the president of Cornerstone University and the former president of the Moody Bible Institute, sharing a message he delivered a few weeks ago at Founders Week. I wanted to revisit some broadcasts as they were so wonderful a few weeks back as we carried live coverage on WGNN, knowing that many of our WGNJ listeners weren't able to tune in, and maybe some of you also missed it, but Founders Week is a great asset to this radio ministry. It's a great Bible conference held at the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, and I hope you've been blessed by the various excerpts from Founders Week this Monday through Thursday. There's no one like the God we serve. What a privilege to know him, to talk with him, to pray to him, to follow him, to revel in the fact that he loves you, he loves me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends as Joey Kroll will share a special message from Nashville, Tennessee as he's attending the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I hope you can tune in and be blessed. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.